will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his infallible book to our hearts. Look with me at the text, verse 17 and verse 18 in this great psalm. And what does it say? It says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. John Wycliffe has been called the morning star of the Reformation. He was more than that. He was a rising sun of the Reformation. He was one of the colossus of the Reformation. A mighty giant among mighty giants. I like to think of the three Johns. John Wycliffe, John Calvin, and John Knox. But John Wycliffe grew old before his time because of the harassing and attacks of the foes of Jesus Christ and the foes of the gospel. And his incessant and ever-growing labors brought a weight of years upon him before he was yet 60 years old. He fell sick. With unbounded joy, his enemies, the friars of Rome, rejoiced that their great enemy was going to die. Of course, they made themselves believe that he was now overwhelmed with horror and remorse that the evil he had done to them. And so they would hasten to his bedside. They would ask him to withdraw all he had ever said about the Roman Catholic system, and that he would repent and die as a penitent. And so they came to him, representatives of the five main orders in the Church of Rome of that day. And they first of all said, we are very sad, John, that you are ill. We hope you will get better. And then they said, but we don't think you're going to get better. So we think that this is the time for penitence and repentance. And we want you to make a full confession. You're on the brink of the grave. And John, the time has come for you to confess your sins, and especially your opposition to the system of the Church of Rome. John listened with great patience. And then when they had finished and had exhausted their threats and their cruel suggestions, he said, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said to his manservant, lift me up on the bed. And they lifted him up on the bed. And sitting upright, he took his bony first finger and he pointed it in their faces. And he said, I shall not die, but live. And I'll declare the evil works of the friars of Rome. And so he did. And he had, at that time, he said, upon his bed, a vision. And the vision was a vision of a book. And that book was the Bible. And he said, I'll spend the rest of my days getting the scriptures into the hands of the people. And I'll hurt them more from this day forward than I ever did before because of the mighty power of God's word. Faithful preachers preaching faithfully can dig down the walls of Rome and the walls of all false doctrine, and can cause the truth to build in our midst the gates and the ramparts of Zion's blessed. John Kent, the hymn writer, said, here let rebels at thy throne lay their hostile weapons down, kiss thy feet with suppliant knee, send, O Lord, prosperity. Pastors sent thy fold to bless, crown their labors with success, preaching not themselves but thee, source of all prosperity. Smile propitious from thy throne, come and bless what we have done. Thine the power and praise shall be. Send, O Lord, prosperity. I'd like to declare to you today, as I bring again the annual sermon at this conference, that I am also celebrating this year my 62nd year. And I feel good, and I feel that the best has yet to be, and the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to take this opportunity to renew publicly my vows and to tell you that I consecrate myself to the mighty God of Jacob, my sovereign Savior and the sweet lover of my soul. I consecrate myself to and for the everlasting covenant of God's free grace, for the infallible book of God, for the atonement of the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I consecrate myself to the work of the gospel, to abide faithfully to the everlasting gospel and the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. Amidst the worst sorrows of the history of this earth, I declare myself for God and truth. I declare I have no intention of shipping anchors. In the darkness I am going to sing, may not be in tune, but it'll be song, and shout the victory. And I'd like to repeat to you those words of this great psalm. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The undertaker's getting no pay from me. I'm going to live outside his business and outside his coffins. Hallelujah! I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You will remember that the great apostle to the Gentiles had a battle with Festus. And he told Festus, when he stood before him in trial, he said, God met me. Christ met me. And said, rise, stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast sent and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Acts 26, verse 16. Now, I come to the fact that the main part of this message is upon the text that my friend and brother spoke today. He took my sermon from me. And then they gave him extra time. Give him extra time by setting off the fire alarm. He very graciously said, Ian, if I had known that, I wouldn't have got on. But why, we enjoyed that word today. But let me just, for a few moments that's left, let me just turn you to that great chapter in the book of Acts. And let me say to you today, as a young man, when I was attending the Theological College of Reformed Presbyterian Church in Belfast, an old minister of the gospel and a professor in that school met me one day, and he told me that he wanted me to learn off that great chapter in the book of Acts that our brother drew our attention to today. And he said to me, Ian, when you learn that, the day will come for testing in your ministry. And you can go back to that great chapter 20. And you can look at it and you'll find everything that's worrying you is in that chapter. And everything you need to know how to get away from your worries and get the victory is in that chapter. It's a summary of what God wants you to be. And you will notice, if you're looking at that 20th chapter, you will notice something that is very, very important. that the minister of Christ is a minister and a witness. He's a minister and a witness. And God has called us to be ministers and witnesses of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. May God help us to have an up-to-date witness of the Lord. Yes, I met the Lord many, many years ago, 1932. That's a long time ago. But what I saw then, I saw today when I had my personal prayer. He's the same. Amen. Yesterday. Amen. He's the same today. And he's the same forever. I first saw the wonder of the sparkle of his eye of tenderness. But it's still the same today. I first heard his heart beat out its love to me, a sinner condemned and unclean. But his heart still beats out his love for me today. In fact, he's sweeter than he ever was before. And I can say from my heart, I love him because, get the reason for it, nothing in me, a worm, a filthy worm from the dunghill of sin. But Jesus first loved me. Amen. And that's a first. That's a first that no man can put a date on. When was the first time he loved me? It was in the eternity of eternities. When his Father gave me a worm of the dunghill of sin into the hand of Christ and said, my son, this is one of the elect. This is a predestinated soul I'm giving. You'll go down to earth. You'll take humanity into unity with your deity. You'll be despised and rejected of men, and you'll hang on a cross, and you'll pour out your blood to bring this worm from the dunghill of sin to this house of many mansions. And for all eternity, that worm redeemed will sit on the throne with you. It's a story that staggers you when you think of it. Why did God ever set his love upon us? We were filthy, dirty sinners. We hated him, despised him, and stood at the cross and rejoiced in the woes that he carried for us. But one day grace had its triumph. One day we felt his nail-pierced hand. One day we were forgiven by his grace. And oh, that was a day of glory to my soul. I remember walking the street of Ballymena after I had come to Christ. And I jumped on the pavements as I went home rejoicing that I was a child of God. Amen. Wonderful to be saved and to know it. Better to be saved than to show it. And thank God I have known the Savior. In days of darkness, he has been my light. In days of battle, he has been my strength. In days of sorrow, he has been my healer. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And thank God we're nearer to the city of God than ever we've been before. We're getting nearer and closer to the city where we'll live forevermore. Now, when we look at this chapter, we not only see that Paul was made a witness and a minister, but Paul had his ordination from the Lord. Unto whom now I send you. He was a sent person. The Lord was sent. The Lord sent the apostle to do a job for him. What was he to do? He was to open their eyes. Open their eyes. I'm in the eye-opening business. Amen. To get people to just open their eyes and see. And as people have their eyes open and God reveals to them the condition of their heart, they don't make any excuses. They don't put their faith in self-righteousness. They see that they are like the prodigal in the far country. They're sitting with the pigs and they're in absolute and total misery. God wants to open their eyes. And you know what this country needs? It needs an eye-opener.
That's right.
And we need preachers that will help to prize open the eyes of men with the preaching of the gospel. Oh, if sinners only saw themselves as they really are, they would flee from the wrath to come. May God give us a time when there'll be an enlightenment in this land and men will see themselves. But something more. Something more. To turn from darkness to light. There's not only illumination, there's transformation. Amen. And it's a great thing when God turns a man from darkness to light. When God turns a woman from darkness to light. When God turns a little child from darkness into light. His glory broke upon me when I saw him from afar. He's fairer than the morning. He's brighter than the morning star. He's all my fancy pictured in its fairest dreams and more. And each day he grows still precious, more precious than he was the day before. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus. My Jesus, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my friend. If you're here in this meeting and you don't know him, meet him today. Let me introduce you to my Savior. He never let me down and he never will. He's mine not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. The colored preacher from Africa said once to a congregation in our country, he says, even if I never get to heaven, I'm having a heavenly time getting there.
Amen.
But oh, if this is a heavenly time, what must it be to be there? I've good news for you. You'll be real good looking then. Real good looking. We're going to be like Jesus, like the Lord who saved us and redeemed us and called us by our name and sealed us with his precious blood. And then there's not only illumination and transformation, there's liberation. He delivers us from the power of Satan. Thank God. There'll be a day when Satan, as far as we are concerned, will be no more. He'll be in the great prison house of the lake of fire forevermore. Be a great thing to get rid of the devil, won't it? I'm looking forward to that day. Someone asked John Bunyan, did he believe in the devil? He says, I believe in the devil because the Bible says it and because I do business with him every day. Oh, thank God we can get the victory through the name of the Lord Jesus. The devil today is working overtime to try and divide the people of God and keep them from enjoying the liberty and the salvation of the gospel. But oh, my friend, one day the devil has gone out of our lives forever. We'll be in the land where the devil has no dominion and no power. We'll receive then the real fullness of the joy of the forgiveness of sins. When I get to heaven, I want to go to the library of heaven. I want to read the everlasting covenant that God made with his Son to save me. And I want to look at that. And I know that our tears will not be in heaven, for God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. But we will laugh in heaven. The laughter of the saints in heaven, it is a celestial thunder that rocks the rafters of the everlasting dwelling place of God. A people who will sing and shout the victory. If you want to hear a good solo, come to Glory Square when I arrive. And I'll sing for the first time that I ever sung. I'll sing the praises of the Lamb. Oh, the wonder of it. But we have here, we're told, we're headed for a coronation, an inheritance, because we are sanctified and enjoy the wonder of regeneration. What more can I say? But commend you to God and to his grace. The day looks dark, but the day looks very bright when I have before me the promises of God. I don't believe that the church is going to scramble into heaven as a defeated force. I believe that when the Lord comes, we're going to go triumphantly to heaven. We're going to go as the winners. We're going to go in celebration of the great victory. All is going to be bright and fair. And if I happen to accelerate and pass you on the way, you'll hear a hallelujah from my lips that you never had before. And you know what you'll say? I'm glad he didn't shout like that down, or we'd all been deaf. Oh, my friends, we should be a happy people. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We're in the victory side, and we're getting closer and nearer to God's heaven than we've ever been before. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank thee for the vision that you have shown us of what you have before us. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man. But God has provided for those that love him. Our loved ones are already there. Saints of God. They used to come to this conference, Father, but they're with you now. They're in the land of beauty and of gold. But where our faces, Father, are cityward today. They're Godward today. They're Christ ward today. They're spirit ward today. And we thank you for the privilege of being one of the saints. We thank you for choosing us in Christ, Father, before the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us on that cross of shame and shedding thy precious blood. Oh, precious is the flow. It makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, we pray this day that we'll leave this conference rejoicing. Let the tide rise. Bring in the tide. Bless all who speak to us. Stir up our hearts. And, oh, God, may we go forth rejoicing. But it is well with my soul. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come, brother, and sing to us now. And you better have a good song or you'll be sacked and get no pay.
Left of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows, a dry thirsty land. In the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He takes my burdens away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. Please join me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Lovely, most lovely, with numberless blessings, each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God. God's people sing. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry thirsty land. He hideth my life clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with a million and high. You may go up with me as well.
Father, we thank thee for a touch of heaven in our souls today. Amen. And we pray that we'll do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Amen. And we pray that we will see in these days the tide rising. Yes. And oh God, we'll know what it is to bathe in the celestial waters of glory and praise and thanksgiving to the blessed Son of God. Separate us from this time, and bless us we go our several ways, and bring us back to the other meetings tonight. And may thy grace and thy mercy and thy peace be with us now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen, and shout it, hallelujah.
Amen.